brought to you by Penguin.
The Lovely and the Lost by Jennifer Lynn Barnes, read by Emily Lawrence.
For Daniel, Matthew, Georgiana, and Joseph, and their dog Ginger, Dominic and Julian, and their dog Hazel, and Connor and Colin, and their dog Remy. With love, from Aunt Jen. Chapter 1. St. Jude was the patron saint of impossible causes. My foster brother took his namesake very seriously. In the 11 years since his mother had found me, half wild and dying in a ravine, I had never once known Jude to throw in the towel when the odds were stacked against him. Jude Bennett had never met a lost cause he did not immediately embrace with the whole of his overly optimistic soul. I was a testament to that sometimes endearing, sometimes frustrating aspect of Jude's personality, and so was the fact that he was currently standing in the middle of a party at Hangman's Ridge, holding an old-school boombox over his head, and blasting 80s music in the direction of a girl who literally did not know his name. As in, I had literally heard her call him Kyle. Twice. "Boy still insisting that Kyle is a nickname for Jude?" Free came to stand beside me, leaning back against the truck. She shook her long blonde hair back over her shoulder and crossed one ankle over the other as she hooked her thumbs through the belt loops on her faded jeans. "He's moved on from nickname to term of endearment," I said, watching as Jude punched a fist into the sky. "Remind me to limit his consumption of 80s movies going forward." "Won't help," Freya opined, reaching up to swat at a mosquito on her arm. "Katie say anything to you about whether or not she's going to let the military have Pat?" Free didn't believe in segues between one subject and the next. "Not a word," I said, taking my eyes off Jude long enough to get a better look at Free. "Why? Did she say something to you?" Pad, short for Padawan, Jude's choice of name, not mine, was a 14-month-old golden retriever and quicker on the uptake than any other dog we'd trained. Jude and Free were holding out hope that Katie, Jude's mother and my foster mother, would keep our star pupil. But every time I took Pad out, I could feel her energy, her determination. She needed to run, to track, to find. She needed more than we could give her. "I am not Katie's favorite person at the moment," Frey admitted, "on account of the fact that we had a fundamental disagreement." Frey was as prone to disagreement as Jude was to optimism. She was the most stubborn person I'd ever met, and the woman who'd raised me was number two. Jude insisted that crossing horns was their way of expressing affection. "Was this disagreement about the fact that you haven't been to school in over a week?" I asked Free. Free shrugged. She was infamous in the Chester Falls public school system for two things: her perfect test scores and her less than perfect attendance. Free had a system. She aced every single test given during the semester, then skipped finals altogether, ultimately pulling home C's in every class. Free's parents, when this was first brought to their attention, had declared that they respected their daughter's individuality and right to make her own decisions. Katie, needless to say, did not. Our property backed up to the Morrows, and Free had spent as much time at our place growing up as she had at her own. Katie didn't treat her any differently than she treated Jude and me, and that meant that she and Free had their share of fundamental disagreements. "You could just ask the teachers to let you take makeup tests," I pointed out. "Then you wouldn't need to ask me whether or not Katie was selling Pad to an Army search and rescue unit."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?